悬疑聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年12月16日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到 Radhashyam Prabhu 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》，Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila, Chapter 24. The 61 explanation of the Atmarama verse.
今天我们继续来讲解永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 中篇逍遥的第24章有关 Atmaram 师节的61种解释。
So we're going to continue today to go through what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching to Sanatana Goswami.
那今天我们继续来讲解 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatana Goswami 的对话。
Sanatana Goswami had the desire to hear about a conversation that Lord Chaitanya had with Sarvabhaumavat Acharya.
Sanatana Goswami 呢想聆听Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sarvabhaumavat Acharya 当时他们两人之间的一个对话。
Where Lord Chaitanya explained the meaning of a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
在这个对话当中呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就讲起了圣典薄伽瓦坛中的一个师节有关 Atmaram 的师节。
And this verse explains how there are so many different spiritualists who are looking for the absolute truth.
那么在这个世界当中呢就讲到了有很多的灵性主义者他们呢在寻找绝对的真理。
Some are looking for self-realization, some have found self-realization, and some have actually realized it.
那有一些人呢他们在寻找自我觉悟有些人已经找到了自我觉悟而有些人是真真切切的觉悟到了什么叫自我觉悟。
Now we can see that Vedic literature is very vast.
我们知道呢，韦达文献是浩如烟海。
And we wonder, and the topics of bhakti is actually quite small.
而关于 bhakti 奉爱的这个话题，却是在里面只占了很小的篇幅。
So then we wonder, why don't we just go straight to the topics of bhakti?
那我们现在可能就会有一个疑问，为什么我们不直截了当的来讨论有关 bhakti 奉爱的这个话题呢
？For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, we only need to know what Krishna wants from his devotee.
比如说从薄伽梵歌当中，其实我们需要知道的，就是我们想知道的，就是 Krishna 他希望他的奉献者做些什么。
But first of all, we are not alone.
但首先呢我们这个世界上并不是只有我们。
The knowledge of the Vedas have to accommodate every single spiritual seeker.
也就是说呢这个韦达经里面有这么多的这个知识必须要把所有的灵性追寻者的需求都囊括其中。
It doesn't matter if those spiritual seekers are maturely motivated.
那不管是这些灵性的追求者，他们是有世俗的物质目的的。
Or if they are actually sincere to to achieve Krishna consciousness?
还是说他们是真心实意的想真达 Krishna 知觉？
So we come to Krishna consciousness through different motivations and different inspirations.
其实我们进入 Krishna 知觉也是带着各种各样的目的。就是各种各样的动机，也有因为各种各样的灵感而来。
And when we see the way the Krishna consciousness is presented today, compared to what it was like before, then we will find ourselves to be very fortunate.
那么如果让我们来放眼看一下今天的 Krishna 知觉是如何呈现的，又对比一下之前的Krishna 知觉呈现的方式，我们就会觉得自己是非常的幸运的了。
And this is when we realize actually the vastness of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那这个时候呢，我们就可以看到了主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 无比宏大的仁慈。
And the unlimited mercy of the Vaishnava Acharyas.
还有 Vaishnava Acharya 们历代先师们的无穷无尽的仁慈。
That in our condition, material condition and degraded situation, we are still given access to the purest.
当我们深陷在物质的这种局限之中，而且处于如此堕落之中的时候，我们居然还是有这个机会能够接触到。
So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is actually the highest of all literatures,
那么 Chaitanya Charitamrita 它是所有的文献中的巅峰之作。
We reflect back on all the different situations.
那么在这个经典当中呢，我们又回顾到之前的各种各样的情境。
That brings people to Krishna consciousness.
而各种情况呢，把人们带到了 Krishna 知觉。
And not just during the time of Lord Chaitanya, but by diving into the Srimad Bhagavatam.
而且不仅仅是在主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个时代，而且还进一步的深入到圣典薄伽瓦坛的。海洋之中
where we are given different examples of individuals.
在圣典薄伽瓦坛呢，就讲到了很多不同的个人的例子。
Who find themselves in a situation where they are challenged by the choices they need to make.
他们处于各种各样的挑战之中，在这样的一种状况之下，他们不得不。做出个人的一些艰难的选择
，and how they gradually remove all their misconceptions，
然后他们又如何逐步的驱除各种各样错误的概念
，and gradually elevate themselves to the platform of pure bhakti，
然后逐步拾级而上，直到纯粹的 bhakti 奉爱的境界。
So there are many instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam to illustrate this.
所以呢，在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面有各种各样的事例来证明这一点，来解释这一点。
And we have to be conscious of what it means to study the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以呢，我们一定要了解研习圣典薄伽瓦坛究竟意味着什么。
These are not just stories for entertaining the mind.
圣典薄伽瓦坛不是只是让我们进行头脑上的娱乐的一部经典。
There are personalities who find themselves in very deep confusion.
它不是供我们消遣的。我们要在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面看到有一些人，他们深陷困惑。
There are individuals who are steeped very deeply in material desires.
还有一些人深陷于物质的欲望之中，无法自拔。
And every single time, the situation that will save these people is the association with a pure devotee.
而每一次究竟是什么把他们从困境当中解救出来的呢？那就是和纯粹奉献者的接触和联谊。
From the very beginning, we hear the story of Narada Muni.
从这个圣典博加瓦坛的开篇，我们就听到了有关 Narada Muni 的故事。
Who was the son of a maid servant?
他是一个女仆的儿子。
Shudra family.
也就是说是一个 Shudra 的一个家庭出生的孩子。
Who did not even know who his father was.
他甚至都搞不清楚他的父亲是谁。
But his mother was engaged in cleaning in a place where there were great Vaishnavas.
那他的母亲呢？他是在一个地方做清洁工。那么在那里呢，有很多伟大的 Vaishnava 经常出现。
And Narada Muni was just a little boy.
那个时候 Narada Muni 呢，还正值幼年。
And somehow or other, over the time that those great Vaishnavas spent, Narada Muni received their association.
那不知怎么的，当这些伟大的圣人、这些奉献者们，在那里的时候，南尔丹穆尼就非常有幸的得到了他们的联谊。
And then his mother died, and he was on his own.
然后呢，他的母亲就不幸去世了，然后只留下他只身一人在这个世界上。
And he began to meditate until he had the darshan of Lord Krishna.
然后呢，他就开始做。冥想，直到他亲眼见到了 Krishna， 主 Krishna。
That did not happen in this lifetime. It happened in the previous kalpa.
这个不是在我们现在的这个年代，而是在过去的那个年代，或者叫那个劫 kalpa。
Until he attained perfection.
那么他直到呢，他达到了这个完美。
And there are many other examples with the sons of Lord Brahma.
还有《博伽瓦坛》里面讲到了这个婆罗赫摩 Brahma 主 Brahma 的这些四个儿子
，who were also very much involved in material activities。
他们还有这个主 Brahma 的儿子，他们也是之前都从事着一些物质的活动。
And we have examples of great yogis who were completely immersed in trying to understand the energies of Krishna.
然后呢，还有那些伟大的瑜伽师呢，他们通过各种各样的修炼，试图要觉悟到这个 Krishna 的灵性的能量。
We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, another little boy.
还有一个小男孩的例子就是 Dhruva Maharaj,
who was so motivated to become the controller of the whole universe.
然后他说。心勃勃的想成为整个宇宙的主宰者。
Until he met his guru Narada Muni, who gave him the process to attain pure devotional service.
直到他遇到了他的灵性导师 Narada Muni, 而 Narada Muni 呢就交给了他真达奉爱服务的途径。
Actually, all throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures, Narada Muni is one of the most important personality to.Bring people from the lowest level to the highest level.
那其实不仅仅是在圣典博伽瓦坛，还有在所有的伟达文献当中 ，Narada Muni 都是一个非常至关重要的这个人物，就是把人们从一个最堕落的低等的这样的一个状况当中把它带向这个纯粹的奉献服务。
This is why Narada Muni was given the special facility.Ability to travel all throughout the spiritual world and all throughout the material universes to bring Krishna consciousness to people.
所以呢，这就是 Narada Muni 呢，他会云游四方，无论是在灵性世界，在宇宙各个地方，还是在我们的所在的这个就是物质宇宙的这个空间，在这个世界，他都是致力于把 Krishna 知觉带给众生。
So when we read.The Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand that what is presented before us in the form of stories is meant to show us examples of different people who attain pure bhakti.
所以说呢，在圣典博伽瓦坛当中，我们看到了各种各样的故事。我们要知道这些故事背后的深意，就是呢，告诉我们。这些不同的这些个体，这些不同的人，他们究竟是怎么样一步一步的达到这个 bhakti 纯粹的奉爱的
？And the amazing phenomenon is that once a conditioned soul makes one step towards Krishna, it is only a question of time before that person realizes Krishna fully.
那最不可思议的一点就是说，无论是怎么样的一个受条件限制的灵魂，只要他在这个 Krishna 知觉的道路上，哪怕只是迈出了非常微小的一步，那么他最后达到完整的完美的这个 Krishna 知觉，也只不过是一个时间的问题，是指日可待的。
And the reason why I mentioned that we should feel ourselves to be very fortunate is because all the hard work has already been done before us.
我想说的，之所以我们是应当认为自己是非常幸运的，是因为就是之前有很多艰难的这些工作已经有前人完成了。
That we actually have zero qualifications to attain pure bhakti.
其实从达到纯粹的分爱的这个角度而言，我们是没有任何资格的，我们的资格是零。
That what the acharyas have presented to us, especially the recent acharyas, is a condensed version to make things much easier for us.
那么就是从古至今的这些 acharya 们，历代先师们，尤其是离我们最近的这些 acharya 们，其实呢，他们就是给予了我们一个非常浓缩的一个方法，使得修习分爱服务的这种方式变得非常的容易。
So what is important to understand is through our practice of devotional service and our study of the Vedic literatures.
那就是说呢，通过我们的分爱服务的这个修习实践，以及对分爱的这些灵性经典的研习。
We have to be very careful to be honest with ourselves.
我们必须要对自己非常的诚实，在这个过程中。
And to look into our own heart and look exactly what is our motivation in Krishna consciousness.
经常去深入的内省，就是我们修习 Krishna 知觉的动机究竟是什么。
Because even though we are engaged in devotional service, we still have many material desires.
因为尽管我们是在修习分爱服务，但是事实上我们还是受到很多物质欲望的污染的。
And even though there are so many instructions and so much guidance available, we may still look for something which is not about Krishna.
虽然呢，铺展在我们面前的有这么多的训示，这么多的指导，但是呢，我们还是有的时候会有其他的一些动机和想法。
So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing through his teachings and his own example is to bring about a clear idea of what it means to serve Krishna.
所以呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是通过他的教导以及他自己以身作则的这个榜样来教导我们如何去修习Krishna 知觉或者分爱服务。
So everything that Lord Chaitanya is teaching is then taken up by the Goswamis.
然后呢，这些 Goswami 们就继承了主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所教导的一切。
And the Goswamis put everything into writing.
Goswami 们呢，把所有的这些教导都留诸笔端。就是说他们呢都用这个文献的这种形式把它文字来呈现。
And they condense it so that there's not too much of literature to read and to absorb.
所以说呢，他们其实就是把所有的这些知识进行了一个浓缩和简化，这样使得这些修习者或者说读者不会有太多的这个文字需要去阅读和了解。
So what do we end up with?
那我们最后呢获得的是什么呢？
We end up with four main books.
那最后剩下来就是主要是四部主要的经典。
The Sri Isopanishad.
这个 Sri Isopanishad 就是至尊奥义书。
Which is one small book with 18 verses, which is the condensed version of 108 Upanishads.
那个至尊奥义书呢，就是薄薄的一本小书，里面有十八个十节，但是它实际上又是108部奥义书的精华所在。
We have another book, The Nectar of Instruction.
另外还有一部书呢，叫做《分爱的甘露》。
Which has 11 verses.
这里面有instruction 啊，就是就是那个教诲的甘露，里面有11个十节。
Only 11 verses.
里面只有11个十节。
And in those 11 verses, the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness is presented.
但是呢，在这短短的十一个十节里面，整个的Krishna 知觉的这个知识。就完全的呈现出来了。
And it is called the nectar of instruction because each one of the verses are instructions.
之所以被称为这个教会的甘露，是因为在这个十节十一个十节当中，每一个十节都是一个教导。
Then we have the Bhagavad Gita.
然后是 Bhagavad Gita 博迦梵歌
，which is the main core.Philosophical presentation of Krishna consciousness.
这是 Krishna 知觉的哲学的核心。
And then we have the nectar of devotion.
然后最后就是奉爱的甘露。
These four books alone are more than enough for a student in Bhakti Yoga to attain the highest destination.
那对于这个 Bhakti 奉爱瑜伽的这个修习者、学习者而言呢，这四部经典已经足以让一个人达到奉爱的最高顶点。
One time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting reading one of the newly published BBT books.
那有一次呢， Srila Prabhupada 坐在那里阅读 BBT 出版的一本新书。
Now you will never see.A writer read their own books.
你几乎不会看到一个作者在阅读自己的书的这个情景。
So one devotee told Prabhupada, "Are you reading your own books?"
然后呢，有一个奉献者就询问 Prabhupada, 您在读自己写的书
？Prabhupada was reading his own books every day.
就是说每天是 Prabhupada 都在读自己写的书。
He said, "They're not my books. Krishna wrote them. I didn't write them."
说这不是我的著作，这是 Krishna 的著作，是 Krishna 写的，不是我写的。
And then he told his servant on a number of occasions.
然后有很多次，他都跟他的仆人说。
Because Prabhupada so much admired the work that was done by the BBT.
因为是了，帕布帕非常的欣赏BBT 所做出的这些成就。
And he held one volume of the Srimad Bhagavatam and said.Look, you just read this book, and you become purely Krishna conscious.
然后呢，他就捧着《圣典·博迦瓦坛》这个系列中的一本，然后他说：“你看，你只要去读这部书，你就可以达到纯粹的 Krishna 知觉，可以达到纯粹的完美。”
He said, "Now, just read one chapter, and everything is there."
然后接着他又说：“不，你只要去读其中的一章。”你就知道了，所有的一切都在里面了，这就够了。
He says, "No, just read one page. Everything is there."
然后他说，不，不是一章，是一页啊！你看一个书页，你就会发现一切都囊括其中。
Not even one page. He said, "Read one sentence."
然后他接着说，还不是一页，一句话就可以了。
Then he said, "Not even a sentence. Read one word."
最后他说，不是一句话，一个词就够了。
Then he told one devotee that each word that you find in one of Prabhupada's books, you should do full arti to that word.
然后接着呢，他就对一个奉献者他说呢，这个释迦牟尼佛的这个书里面的每一个字，你都可以对着它做 arti， 做灯吉祥灯仪。
Because each one of those words are spoken by Krishna.
因为每一个字都是 Krishna 亲口说的。
And because they are spoken by Krishna, they are none different than Krishna.
因为它是由 Krishna 亲口说的，所以呢，这每一个词、每一个字和 Krishna 是没有什么分别的。
So this puts everything into perspective when we actually read Prabhupada's books.
所以呢，当我们去读施拉帕帕的书籍的时候，这一切就顺理成章了。
That this is not about getting a piece of paper that says that you have completed the Bhakti Shastri.
这个我们去阅读施拉帕帕的书籍的目的，不是为了要最后拿到这么一张证明，表示你已经完成了 Bhakti Shastri 奉爱课程的这个。就是已经奉爱课程结业了，你完全读完了所有的课程。
And you're getting all excited because you hear that you can now register for the next step, which is the Bhakti Vaibhava.
也不要因为好像我已经拿到了一张 Bhakti Shastri 的结业证书了，我就非常的高兴啊！接下来我终于可以报名参加。下一个段阶段的这个课程了 Bhakti Vaibhava.
Of course, it is definitely glorious and praiseworthy if we do spend the time to study systematically Prabhupada's books.
但是如果我们真的用了大量的时间非常系统的去阅读 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍，这当然是非常值得赞颂的。
And Prabhupada wanted the devotees to study those books so that they can become direct representative of the Guru Parampara.
那释迦牟尼也希望所有的这些奉献者们能够去阅读这些经典文献，使得每一个人都能够真正的去代表 Guru Parampara 我们的使徒传系。
But Prabhupada's intention was not to create.A community of philosophers.
但是 Srila Prabhupada 他的用意并不是在于建立一个由哲学家们所组成的一个团体。
Prabhupada wanted to create a community of ideal human beings who, by their example, can guide the conditioned soul.
Srila Prabhupada 希望能够建立这样的一个社团，是有着具有理想的人格所组成的一群优秀的。人才，然后他们可以去引导其他的人。
Therefore, together with the study of Vedic literatures, we have the chanting.
所以说呢，伴随着这个伟达经典的这个学习，伟达文献的这个学习，我们还要有这个念诵和唱诵。
We have the association of devotees.
还有跟奉献者的联谊。
We have the worship of the deities.
还有对神像的。
So all these elements will actually enhance our understanding of Shastra.
那所有的这些元素呢，它们组合在一起就可以帮助我们提升我们对 Shastra 经典的理解和觉悟。
And the most amazing thing is that the more we make spiritual progress, the less we feel qualified.
那么最不可思议的就是我们研习经典越深，我们越感觉到自己没有任何的资格。
For example, in this story, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining philosophy to Sanatan Goswami, but he does that because he is inspired by Sanatan Goswami.
那比如说在我们现在所读到的这个部分里面呢，是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他去给Sanatan Goswami 去解释。但事实上呢，他给他的这个教导的背后，是因为他首先被 Sanatan Goswami 所激励。
And he tells Sanatan Goswami, I can tell you something about the Atmarama verse, but I don't remember very much.
那然后他就对 Sanatan Goswami 他说呢，我可以向你解释有关于 Atmarama 的这个师节的一些内容，但是事实上呢。我已经我的记忆很少，就是我记不了太多了。
He said, "I am one madman, and Sarvabhatacharya is another madman."
他说呢，其实我是一个疯子 ，Sarvabhatacharya 呢，他是另一个疯子。
The only reason I can speak is because by being with you, I get inspired.
那我之所以现在还能够开口。来讲述有关这个 Atmaran 世界的事情，是因为你激励了我，你鼓舞了我。
So even in that situation, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us that in front of the spiritual master, we know absolutely nothing.
所以呢，就是 即便是在这样的一个对话当中，切塔尼亚马哈帕布也向我们说明了一个道理，其实在我们的灵性导师的面前，我们是一无是处的，我们一无所知。
And Prabhupada from the very beginning of Krishna consciousness movement told his disciples that from the moment that you think that you know more than your guru, your spiritual life is finished.
那么其实在 Krishna 知觉运动的最早期，是啦 Prabhupada 就实时的警示自己的门徒说，如果什么时候你觉得你比你的灵性导师的知识更丰富，知道的更多，那就说明你的灵性生命就到此为止了。
You may know more.
你或许是比你的灵性导师有更多的知识。
But in front of your guru, you don't know anything.
就是说了解的更多，但是即便是如此的话，你在你的灵性导师的面前也是一无所知的。
Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not about how much do I know and how expert I am.
所以呢 ，Krishna 知觉呢，和你究竟了解多少知识，还有呢，how much you know and how much you really
how expert
啊，或者说你有你有多么的精湛，在某一些技能方面啊，多厉害。
It's about the attitude.
而是关于你的这个态度。
So, to go back to this chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives all the different meanings of the Atmarama verse to explain that there are so many different transcendentalists who try to reach out to Krishna.
所以呢，就是通过在这一段呢，有关 Atmarama 的这个诗节的这种里面的多重的这个含义和多重的这些层次，那么其他尼亚马哈帕布呢，他想说的就是说，现在有这么多的超然主义者，他们想要了解最高的知识。
And that amongst the millions and millions of those who get to self-realization, it does not mean that they have actually reached Krishna.
但是呢，即便是在这些千千万万不计其数的真达了这个自我觉悟的人当中，几乎也没有一个人真正的达到了 Krishna。
Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavam Mamprapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulabha. Among thousands of men, some may understand the absolute truth.
那么在圣典在《薄伽梵歌》里面呢 ，Krishna 他亲自也说，他说可能千千万万之中。人之中只有一人追求完美。
And among those, some may understand who I am.
在这些人之中，也许有一些人能够真正的明白我是谁，就是。
But actually, hardly one knows me in truth.
但是几乎没有人能够真正的认识我。
So we should not feel discouraged when Krishna says hardly one.
所以当 Krishna 他说几乎没有一个人说到这个词的时候，我们也不要灰心泄气。
And you're wondering when will my turn comes that I'll become that one.
然后你可能在想什么时候我才能成为那个少数人中的一个呢？
When Krishna says among thousands of men, this is a relative term that actually refers to millions and millions of conditioned souls.
那当这个Krishna 他说千千万万人中的时候，那这个千千万万其实呢只是一个就是指的是更就是无数的无穷无尽的受条件限制的灵魂，所谓的千千万万也只不过是一个虚词而已。
And when Krishna says hardly one knows me in truth, it means very few.
那当时 Krishna 他说呢几乎没有一个人的时候，他指的是仅有极少数人。
And that shows us how precious bhakti is.
所以呢这个就让我们知道了这个 bhakti 分爱究竟有多么的宝贵。
But the emphasis is always that we can't make any progress, first of all, with the wrong attitude, and second, unless we have association of a pure devotee.
所以呢，在这里呢，其实我们反反复复要强调的一个要点是， 首先就是说，如果是我们没有一个正确的一个心态，正确的一个态度，同时可能又缺失了和纯粹奉献者的联谊的话，那我们是不可能获得任何的进步的。
So now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to give one example of how, with the association of a pure devotee, one can become, go beyond even being an Atmarama.
所以呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 接下来他就要举的一个例子，就是仅仅是通过一个和纯粹奉献者的一个联谊呢。一个人他就可以超越，甚至超越 Atmarama 的这个境界。
So in the verse of Atmarama, there are different words that are being used.
在这个 Atmarama 的这个世界当中呢，它有用到了不同的词语。
One word is Muni.
其中有一个词叫做 Muni.
And there are different definitions.Of the word muni.
那关于这个 muni 这个词呢，那有是有不同的含义。
Just like there are different definitions of the word atmarama.
就像 atmarama 这个梵文词，它也是有非常丰富的意涵的。
Then there's another word which is called nirgranta.
还有一个词叫 nirgranta.
Now nirgranta is made of two words.
就是 nirgranta 这个。字呢，它是由两个词组成的。
One is granta，
一个字叫做 granta，
which has also many different meanings。
那这个 granta 的这个词，就这一个词里面，它又有好几层意思。
Like we say at the end of the class， grantaraj srimad bhagavatam ki jai。So granta means the book of knowledge。
Granta 的意思呢，就是知识之书。
And near means no knowledge.
Near 的意思呢，这个 near 就是否定的意思，没有，没有知识。
Sanskrit is a very dynamic language. You can extract many different meanings out of one word.
这个梵文呢，它是一种非常生动而丰富的一种语言。其实你每一个词要把它拆解开，都可以发掘出很多很多深层隐藏的含义。
Now you're getting excited.So nirgranta can mean many things, but among these things, it means one who is hopeless, one who is fallen, one who is unintelligent.
就是 nirgranta 呢，它的意思是非常多的。那其中有一些含义呢，就比如说这个人是不可救药的，非常的堕落的，非常的糟糕的，有这样子的这种含义在里面。
So,Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will tell Sanatana Goswami a story to illustrate the position of someone who is nirgranta.
So, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will give Sanatana Goswami an example to illustrate a such nirgranta person is.
And how such a person can attain pure devotional service to Krishna just by association with a pure devotee.
就是这样的一个堕落地下的人，他都可以仅仅是通过和 Krishna 的奉献者的这个联谊，就可以达到完美。
And this is very much similar to our situation up until Sri Prabhupada came to the West.
这个实际上呢，和我们在就是 Sri Prabhupada 到达西方世界之前的那种状况是非常的类似的。
Eka bhakta vyadhera kata suna svadhane yata oite hoi satsanga mahimara jnane. I shall now narrate the story of how a hunter became a great devotee by the association of such an exalted personality as Narada Muni. From this story, one can understand the greatness of association with pure devotees.
然后呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu就说，现在我要向你叙述一个猎人是如何通过与崇高的伟大的圣人 Narada Muni 联谊而成为一位伟大的奉献者的。通过这个故事，一个人就能理解和纯粹奉献者联谊的美妙之处。
Like every story, it always begins with once upon a time.
那就像是所有的这个故事开始的时候都是很久很久以前。
The great Narada Muni, after visiting Lord Narayan in the Vaikunthas, went to Prayag to bathe at the confluence of the three rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati.
啊，这里就是讲到了很久很久以前，伟大的圣人 Narada 啊，在这个拜访了在 Vaikuntha 就是无忧心秀的主 Narayana 之后，便来到了。恒河 Yamuna 河与 Saraswati 河的山河交汇之处，在河中沐浴。
So long, long time ago, we are in the north of India, and Narada Muni is at this confluence of those three sacred rivers.
啊，那所以呢，这里我们就讲到了，到了印度的这个北部，在 Prayag 的这个地方，这是三条圣河的交汇之处。
So in those days, there were no cars, no road, no buildings, no cities. It was just forest.
那在那个年代肯定是没有这个城市，没有建筑物啊，没有那么多的房子，没有这么多的公路，也没有这些交通工具的啊，这个到处都是一片丛林。
There was no Wi-Fi, no Huawei, no Weixin, nothing.
没有 Wi-Fi, 没有华为，也没有微信。
People didn't stay up until 11 o'clock at night talking to people on the phone.
但那个时候没有人说一直晚上熬夜到11点钟，在11点钟的时候还跟别人用这个微信或者用手机对话。
But there were other kinds of people.
但是有另外这么一类人。
So Narada Muni, he saw a deer lying on the path through the forest,and that it was pierced by an arrow. It had broken legs and was twisting due to much pain.
这是 Narada Muni 呢，他就是在这个路上看到了一头鹿，在他穿过这个森林的时候，而看到这头鹿呢，这个就被一支箭给射穿了，然后他的腿呢又折断了，然后因为非常的痛苦，所以呢在那里颤抖。在那里 twistiness the legs or the body 就是在那里扭曲的这个痛苦着。
Now you have to pay attention because that story is actually very very close to the reality of the world that we live in today
这个要知道就是这个情景实际上描绘的跟我们现在所生活的这个世界是非常的类似的。
And that you can see the same thingPractically speaking, in every marketplace in China.
好，就是说，事实上呢，你要是到了这个中国的任何一个农贸市场，你没准都能够看到这样的情景。
Further ahead, excuse me. Further ahead, Narada Muni saw a boar pierced by an arrow. Its legs were also broken, and it was twisting in pain.
然后他又继续往前走了，他又看到了一头这个。野猪也是被一支箭给射中了，然后腿也是折断了，然后在痛苦当中挣扎扭曲。
So you can imagine how the pigs are raised in cages where they get so big that they can't even move and they suffer and suffer and suffer.
我们可以想象一下我们现在的这个现代的这个世界里面那些养猪人，他们把这个猪搁在笼子里面，然后喂饲料，越长越大，越长越大，连这个小小的空间都容纳不了它了，然后再拉出去给屠宰了，他得经历多大的痛苦。
When he went further, he saw a rabbit that was also suffering. Narada Muni was greatly pained at heart to see living entities suffer so much.
然后他又继续往前走的时候，他就看到了一只兔子也在痛苦中挣扎。这个时候呢，而在蜂蜜呢，他看到了这么多的这个生物体如此的痛苦，他于是心生怜悯之情，内心中感到异常的悲悯。
So Prabhupada explained the heart of a devotee is that he is para dukkha dukhi. He is very unhappy at seeing the suffering of others.
老师的爸爸他说呢，这个奉献者们就是 pala dukkha dukkhi， 意思就是说，看到生物体在痛苦之中的时候，他们也会感同身受。
So you can imagine, like many devotees actually live with family members who are in that situation.
我们可以想象一下，有好多这些奉献者们，他们跟自己的家人生活在一起，其实就是在这样的一种境况下。
And we go out every day into the cities in China, and we see these animals suffering right in front of our very eyes.
每天我们走到这个城市的各个角落，我们都可以看到好多的动物就在我们的眼前痛苦挣扎。
That alone should pain our hearts.
当我们看到这个情景的时候，我们内心中应当感到非常的痛苦。
Therefore, we should always have books ready to distribute.And prasadam ready to distribute.
所以我们随时都应当要备好这个我们的书籍、灵性的经典以及 prasadam， 随时的去派发他人。
When Narada Muni moves forward, he saw a hunter behind a tree. This hunter was holding arrows, and he was ready to kill more animals.
然后呢，当纳尔达穆尼继续往前走的时候，他就看到了树丛后面藏着一个猎人，这个猎人正在挽弓搭箭，在瞄准着动物准备射杀。
Again, we see this in China. We don't see the hunters, but we see people killing animals alive.
在我们中国，像现在我们虽然看不到这个举着利剑的这个猎人在瞄准动物的这样一个情景，但是我们却无处不在的可以看到一些人在屠杀动物的惨烈的情景。
The hunter's body was blackish. He had reddish eyes and he appeared fierce. It was as if the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, was standing there with a bow and arrow in his hands.
然后接下来就说到呢，这个猎人的这个躯体非常的黑。他双目通红，面目狰狞，这好像是死神 Yamaraj 举着弓箭，在手中举着弓箭站立在那里。
When Narada Muni left the forest path and went to the hunter, all the animals immediately saw him and fled.
就是当 Narada Muni 呢，他。离开了这条森林中的小道，走向这个猎人的时候，所有的这些动物立刻仓皇而逃。
When all the animals fled, the hunter wanted to chastise Narada Muni with abusive language, but due to Narada Muni's presence, he could not utter anything abusive.
就是呢，当这些动物全都四散奔逃之后，这个猎人呢，就想对 Narada 恶语相向，但是因为 Narada 就站在他的面前，他这个时候反而是哑口无言。
The hunter addressed Narada Muni, "Oh Goswami, oh great sentient person, why have you left the general path through the forest to come to me? Simply by seeing you, all the animals I was hunting have now fled."
这时候猎人呢就对 Narada Muni 说，哦 Goswami 啊，哦伟大的圣人啊，为什么你会离开大道而穿行森林来到我这里，只是因为看到你所有的这些我这即将猎杀的这些动物就都四散奔逃了。
Narada Muni replied, "Leaving the path, I have come to you to settle the doubt that is in my mind."
那达摩尼就说呢，我离开了主路来到你这里，就是为了要驱除我内心中的一个疑惑。
I was wondering whether all the boars and other animals that I have killed belong to you. The hunter replied, "Yes. Why are you saying so?"
他说呢，就那达摩尼就是说呢，我内心中的困惑是，这些我在路上所看到的这些被折磨的半死不活的动物，这些野猪们，是不是这些野猪都是属于你的，都是你的？那这个猎人呢，就说，是的， 的确如此。
Narada Muni then inquired, why didn't you not kill the animals completely? Why do you have killed them by piercing their bodies with arrows?
Narada Muni 呢他就说了，那你为什么不把这个动物就直接的杀死，为什么要把他们折磨得奄奄一息半死不活，用你的这个剑刺穿他们的身体。
When you kill an animal, you kill them because you're going to sell them dead. But this is, as we're going to find out, this was a technique that this hunter learned from his father, that you don't kill the animals all the way. You imagine the mentality of such a hunter.
但是本来这个猎人，通常的这个猎人就是一剑就把这个动物给杀死了，然后他可以把这个动物的尸体 拿到市场上去卖。但是呢，后来我们再读下去就会知道，这个实际上呢，这个是这个猎人从他的父亲那里学来的一个技巧，就是要把这个动物这样折磨得半死不活的。那这个你可以想象一下，是一种什么样的一种恶劣的心态。
So the first thing that we observe in this story is that even though the hunter is very low class man, when he sees a sadhu,He becomes very respectful.
那从这个故事里我们也看到这个猎人他本身是一个非常低下的一个人。但是呢当他就是见到了一位圣人出现在他面前的时候他的态度还是非常的恭敬的。
And he says, my name is Mugrari, and this is what I learned from my father.
然后他说呢我的名字呢叫这个 Mugrari. 我这一招呢就是从我的父亲那儿学到的。
And then he says, when I see half-killed animals suffer, I feel great pleasure.
我看到了这些半死不活的动物在痛苦中煎熬的时候，我的内心就非常的满足喜悦。
Who would derive pleasure from seeing animals suffer?
有谁会因为看到奄奄一息的动物在痛苦中而感到快乐呢？
So Narada Muni says, I have something to beg from you.
Narada Muni 说呢，我现在想向你发出一个祈求。
And the hunter said, you may take whatever animals or anything else you would like.
他说呢，这些摆在我面前的这些动物，你想要的你就拿走好了，或者你有什么别的要求也尽管提出。
He says, I have many skins.If you want some of the skins from the animals, I shall give you either deer skin or tiger skin. Which skin do you want?
他说呢，我有很多的兽皮，你想要什么我都可以给你，不管是我有这个鹿皮，还有老虎皮，都可以给你。
Narada Muni said, I don't want any of your skins. I am asking only one thing from you in charity.
然后拿着木尼他说呢，你的这些兽皮我一概不要，我只想向你请求一个布施。
What is he going to ask him?
那么这个拿着木尼要发出一个什么样的请求呢？
He's going to ask him stop killing the animals.
他会叫这个猎人从现在开始就放下屠刀吗？
Is he going to tell him why don't you buy a Bhagavad Gita from me?
难道他会跟猎人说，你从我这儿买一本薄伽梵歌吧？
Would you like to come to our temple? We have a festival on Sunday.
你想来我们的庙里吗？我们星期天还有这个爱心大餐呢。
No, he says, I beg you that from this day, you will kill the animals completely. Don't let them half dead.
然后他那儿的牧女就是说，我请求你从今天开始，你就不要把动物折磨得半死不活了，请你把不要这样去折磨他们，请你呢就直接的把这个动物杀死吧。
So Narada Muni is thinking of two things. One is the suffering of the animals, and two, he is thinking of how much suffering is awaiting that hunter if he continues to behave like this.
Narada Muni 他现在呢，他首先他想到的是这些动物如此的这个痛苦在挣扎。那么他也怜悯这些动物，另外一方面他又怜悯这个猎人，因为他知道猎人的这样的一种他的这种行为 将会有多少的这个痛苦在前方等待他。
So this is the mood of a Vaishnava.
所以这个就是 Vaishnava 的这种心态。
A Vaishnava cannot handle seeing suffering.
一个 Vaishnava 他看到痛苦的时候他是无法忍受的。
Because suffering means ignorance.
他看到别人的这个痛苦无法忍受。因为痛苦呢就是是出于这个无知愚昧而至。
So the hunter said, My dear sir, what are you asking from me?What is wrong with animals lying there half killed? Can you please explain?
然后呢，这个猎人他就回答说：“亲爱的先生啊，你到底想让我做什么？这些动物奄奄一息的躺在那里，难道有什么问题吗？为什么？请你向我解释一下。”
Narada Muni said, "If you leave the animals half dead, you are purposefully giving them pain."Therefore, you will have to suffer the retaliation.
那拉摩尼就是说呢，如果你把动物折磨得半死不活，那你就是在有意的给他们施加这个痛苦。因此你一定呢会被这个痛苦所报复。
So we can see this is all based on pure ignorance.
所以你会看到，就是这个猎人所做的这一切，其实都是因为。无知愚昧所导致的。
People are not bad.
其实人本身是不坏的。
People are not evil.
也不是邪恶。
People are in complete darkness of ignorance.
就是完完全全的深陷于愚昧无知的黑暗之中，这是人们的真实的境况。
And the only thing that can remove that ignorance is association with devotees and transcendental knowledge.
那唯一的能够把这个黑暗的愚昧所驱除的，就是和奉献者的联谊相处，以及呢超然的知识。
Lord Rishabdev explains this in his teachings to his 100 sons.
那当这个主 Rishabdev 就是主日沙巴王，他对他的一百个儿子教导的时候，他就说到了这一点。
He says people are absolutely mad with sense gratification that they don't even know what is the aim of life.
说呢，人们都在疯狂的追逐着感官享乐，根本就不知道人生的意义是什么。
So Narada Muni says, my dear hunter, your business is killing animals. That is a slight offense. He says a slight offense on your part.But when you consciously give them unnecessary pain by leaving them half dead, you become very sinful.
那尔达摩尼他就继续说，他说我亲爱的猎人呢，这个屠杀动物本身就是你的工作，那么这只是一点点的冒犯。他这里用了就是。一点点 slightly 稍微的这个冒犯，就是说你杀动物呢，其实从冒犯的角度而言还只是轻的，但是呢你这种故意的把这个动物折磨的半死不活，给他们带来毫无必要的这个痛苦，这个就是罪大恶极了。
So this is this happened thousands of years ago and it's still so relevant today.
这个故事是发生在几千年之前，但是呢它依然有非常大的现实意义。
And people have no idea when they engage in slaughtering and torturing animals.
就是当人们去屠杀和折磨动物的时候，他们其实呢根本就是无意识的。
And what is the side effect of such mentality?
那这样的一种心态所带来的这个副产品是什么呢？
That if you don't feel bad about killing or torturing animals, it means that you won't feel bad about killing and torturing other human beings.
就是说，当你在这个折磨和屠杀其他的动物，让他们痛苦的时候，你是麻木不仁的，这就意味着你也会麻木不仁的去杀其他的人。就是杀人，就是你在杀人的时候，你可能也是无意识的。
So Narada Muni says, all the animals that you have killed and given unnecessary pain, they will kill you one after the other in your next life and in the life after life.
那那儿的梦里就是说呢，在你的下一世以及下下世，接下来的生生世世之中，所有的被你屠杀的这些动物，所有的承受着你，没有必要的施加痛，被施加了痛苦的这些动物，都会一一的反过来杀死你。
And we see here reflecting the compassionate heart of Srila Prabhupada, who was always speaking very, Prabhupada was very outspoken about the unnecessary activities of slaughterhouses.
就是 Srila Prabhupada 他经常都是直言不讳的谈到屠宰场里面对动物的毫无必要的这种折磨和施加的这种痛苦。那么每一次谈到这一点的时候，我们就可以看到 Srila Prabhupada 的悲悯之情。
Prabhupada explained that there will always be people who eat meat.
那 Srila Prabhupada 他说呢，这个世界上呢，总会有人要吃肉。
But to the scale of slaughtering animals as it is today, by the end of this class, there's probably about 5 million cows that have been already dead.
但是呢，就是不是这样的一种屠宰场中的大规模的这种屠杀，这就令人发指了。事实上，当我们这堂课讲完的时候，没准在这个讲课的过程当中，已经到了结束的时候，已经有500万头奶牛被屠杀了。
So in this way, through the association of the great sage Narada Muni, the hunter was a little convinced of his sinful activities. He therefore became somewhat afraid due to his offenses.
所以就这样呢，因为和伟大的圣人拿尔达穆尼的相处，这个猎人呢开始对他的罪恶的活动有所萌醒，因此呢他就对自己的这种冒犯罪孽呢他有所察知了。
So,
有些害怕了。
How many times do we tell people what is the reactions for killing animals, let alone eating their flesh?
我们有多少次得说服人们说这个杀死动物有多大的这个罪业，然后更不用说是那然后吃动物又有多少的这个业报。
And it is very interesting how when Prabhupada was being interviewed about his achievements,
当有人在采访施拉帕布帕询问到他的成就的时候，
What was always Prabhupada's response?
那 Prabhupada 的回答往往是怎样的呢？
He said, these young men and women just a short time ago were meat eaters, gamblers, sex maniacs, and taking intoxication. They have given all these things up.
那施拉帕布帕经常说，你看在座的这些小伙子姑娘们，就在不久之前他们还是吃肉喝酒服用毒品麻醉品，他们都是疯狂的追逐性享乐，他们赌博。 Now they have all changed.
Of course.
现在他们
completely changed.
他们完全的改变了。
That's the power of the association with the pure devotee.
这就是和纯粹奉献者联谊的结果，这是巨大的力量。
When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent 4 disciples to England,
当是了 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati 他把四个门徒派到英国的时候，
One of his disciples, one sannyasi, he met a very high aristocratic British man.
然后呢，其中的有一个门徒他在英国就见到了一位地位很高的一个贵族人士，是个英国人。
And the British man says, My dear Swami, please tell me, what do I have to do to become a Bhakti Yoga follower?
然后呢，这个出身高贵的这个英国贵族呢，就对这个 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati 的门徒说，他说，亲爱的 Swami 啊，请您告诉我，如果我想要追随 Bhakti 的这条道路的话，我应当做些什么？
So the sannyasi replied, well, it's very simple.
Sannyasi 就是说呢，这个非常的简单。
All you have to do is give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and sex life.
就是你只要去放弃这个吃肉、赌博、麻醉品，还有就是性享乐、性生活。
And the sannyasi and the British aristocrat says, "Well, that is impossible."
对，原来长发布就是用这个伦敦音在那说，就这个英国贵族就说了啊，这是万万不可能的。
And yet, a few years later, Prabhupada arrives in America, and he gets thousands of people to stop this sinful activity.
但是呢，仅仅是几年之后，是啊，帕帕就到达了美国，他使得成千上万人去追随这样的一些戒律，然后就发生了巨大的改变。
We're going to see how the situation is going to change.
那我们可以继续往下看。看到这个整个的这个故事发生了怎样的一个转折
？Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。好，我们现在来看一下那个 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 现在奉献者们有没有一些问题呢 ？Okay, one minute. We have to wait. So when the hunter actually, when he killed all the animals, he actually didn't think much.It was he's thinking that he is performing his duty.
No, he's not performing duty. He's just doing what his father told him to do. He's got no brain.
我刚才在大家问问题的时候，顺便说几句，就问了上方不说。那这个猎人在杀这个动物的时候，实际上他是什么感觉都没有的。他是不是只是想着自己在尽自己的职责？既然我是个猎人，那我就杀动物。而他上他不他说他实际上他根本就没有什么意识，是一种无意识，他只是在把他从父亲那里学来的东西啊，去这个子承父业啊，继续的去做而已。OK， 好了 ，Sumukhi Radha Mataji 是不是没有问题呀
？Maybe she's gone.
Oh, yes, right.
Maybe she's not even.
是不是不在那里啊 ？OK。大家有没有问题啊？如果是哦，有可能他正好是离开。Okay, what to do? But they can't finish because she's not there.
Well, we can finish.
Are you still online? Oh, okay, it's coming. 好，那大家的问题还没有提上来的话，那么 okay, Sumukhi Radha, Sumukhi Radha Mataji 有问题吗？你可以用打开耳麦来说，可以快一点。Okay, I don't think there is any question now. Because today's class is quite short, normally you speak longer.
Excuse me, I always finish at 5:30. Always.
Oh.
I spoke longer today.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Okay.
And questions come during the class.
Looks like I can't hear her. 是，我是听不见你的那个 She's speaking, but I can't hear her. 那你用微信，那是怎么回事啊？Okay. 这个the first question is, it's so difficult for me to chant 16 rounds. Can I read the Scriptures first, to begin with.
Who is this?
微微问了一个问题。现在念诵十六圈对我很难，可以先读书吗？
No. What you don't have to chant 16 rounds. You can chant less.
你不一定要念马上念十六圈，你可以少念几圈。
You can chant 2 rounds. You can chant 4 rounds.
可以念两圈或者是四圈。
That's not very difficult.
这个应该是不难吧。
And then you do some chanting and some reading.
然后你就是在这个念诵的同时，你在读一些书。
And the reading will inspire you to chant more.
而我相信这个读书可以更加的激励你，可以增加更多的念诵。
But the chanting is what will keep you in Krishna consciousness.
但是要真正的让你稳处于 Krishna 知觉中的还是念诵。就是说念诵真正的标志作为一个奉献 者真正的一个标志，并且是稳固于稳定的处在 Krishna 知觉中的话，还是念诵。OK， Panchatattva Prabhu 询问说，恋人非常残忍，奉献者非常的仁慈，这两种人如何相处？ So the hunter is always very cruel and devotees are always very merciful, compassionate. How can these two different kinds of people get on with each other?
They don't get on with each other. One has surrendered to the other.
How do they deal with each other?
No.
I translated it in the wrong way. 他们没有, they can't get on with each other.
No, they, one has to surrender to the other.
就是他们两个人是没有两种人没有办法和平相处的，其中一个人一定要臣服于另外一个人。
It's a question of being, how do you say in English? You have to never give up.
就是在英语里面说永不妥协，永不言弃啊，是这个意思。
You have to be consistent.
就是你要一以贯之，就是你要一直的坚持下去。
You don't compromise.
不能妥协。
If you begin to compromise, you lose that battle.
就是作为一个奉献者，你不能轻易的妥协。一旦是妥协，哪怕是往后退一小步，你就会打败仗。
And this is why there are many different ways to give Krishna consciousness to people.
好，这就是为什么呢？要把 Krishna 知觉带给不同的人，其实是可以有不同的方式的。
And you will find that prasadam is one way that will purify people before they begin to give up their sinful activities.
你们会发现，就是在人们放弃杜绝他们的罪恶活动之前，这个用 prasadam 的这种方式去净化他们是非常有用的。
And books, of course, will be very helpful if people are inclined that way.
当然了，如果人们他们对这个读书读我们的这个经典有这种倾向的话，那这些书也会可以非常的大的程度去帮助他们。
But distributing Prabhupada's books, especially in China, my realization is that it has to be followed with following up on people.
就是拿我对这个中国的这个状况的观察而言，我觉得在中国比较有效的一个派书方法就是说你之后一定要有跟踪，就是跟进。
And the reason for that is people actually do understand the content of Prabhupada's books, but they don't see how to use that philosophy in a practical way in their daily lives. Therefore they need the devotee's help.
就是我想的，其实大多数的人读了施瓦帕帕的书之后，关于里面的这个内容他是能够明白的，但是难就难在他们不知道把这些哲学怎么样能够实际的运用到他们的生活中去，所以呢他们就会无所适从，因此在这个时候奉献者的联谊是非常的重要的。
So we should not just do book distribution, we should do smart book distribution.
所以呢我们不能仅仅只是派书，或者说把这个书派出去而已，应当是一种智慧的派书方法。
And of course, the chanting is there for people to chant and to become purified.
当然了，还有这个唱诵，这个也可以让人们去这个参与，然后净化他们的内心。
But we don't come down to people's levels to try to understand them by sharing in their activities. No, we never compromise.
那我们绝对不能有任何的妥协。我们不能够把自己主动的降格，然后把自己带到他们的这个层面上面，跟他们去共享他们所享受的那些活动。
That is a real compassion of a Vaishnava.
这个才是 Vaishnava 奉献者的真正的仁慈。
A Vaishnava will find many different ways to reach out to people in the most difficult situation and give them a ray of hope.
那 Vaishnava 奉献者呢，他们可以想尽一切的这个方法，向各种各样困境中的人伸出援助之手，给他们带来一线希望的阳光。
Not that in order for me to speak to people, I have to drink tea with them.
并不是说哦，我为了要跟他们要好好的有个聊天，所以我跟他们一起喝茶，那个增进关系，这个不行。
Okay.
好，下一个问题，微微。好，那就两群，感谢顾问的教导。The微微 said, "Okay, two rounds. Thank you very much for your teaching."
Very good, 微微。All glories to your two rounds.
微微，你做的很好，就是非常的感谢你的这个承诺。这个所有的荣耀归于你这两圈的念诵。下一个问题来自于吴秀红，顶拜咕噜莲花族，顶拜奉献者们 ，Hare Krishna。马上冬至就来临了，很多动物又被杀了，冬天冷，买羽绒服、皮质鞋子也有报应吗？我们该怎么做呢？Please accept my humble obeisances and all glories to the devotees. Hare Krishna. The winter is coming very soon, and there will be more animals being killed again. And the winter is very cold. Is it okay to buy some down clothes and also some leather shoes? Will that also incur some karmas? What can we do?
The winter is already here.
这冬天已经来了。
It's already cold.
已经是非常冷了。
And today you can find both warm jackets and warm shoes that have no animal product. I can find them for you on Taobao if you want.
就是现在其实我们不买这个羽绒服，不买皮质的鞋子，你依然能够买到很多冬天非常保暖的衣服和鞋子，足够让你温暖的过冬。如果你找不到这些东西，我可以帮你在淘宝上买，我知道淘宝上有很多。
There's many, many things available. You don't have to go for animal products.
就是在这个淘宝上面的这个现在的这个产品真的是很丰富的，你不用去用这个动物制品。
Because yes, they are consequences.
的确是的，当你用了这些的时候，的确是会有这个后果的。
I mean, people actually don't realize because of ignorance.
其实就是人们他们其实。就是无知无觉的一种麻木状态，还是因为愚昧导致的。
The amount of direct and indirect violence is just amazing in this world.
在这个世界上，这个直接和间接的这个暴力啊，是令人发指，是让人无法想象的。
Leather belt.
比如说皮带。
Leather bags.
还有皮包。
Leather shoes.
皮鞋
，leather jackets，
这个皮大衣
，fancy cars with leather seats，
还有那种豪车里面的那个椅子都是皮质的皮椅
，couch and chairs with leather cover，
还有那么多的沙发上面都是那个真皮的，所谓真皮沙发，真皮的那种躺椅
，sofa， you don't have a word for sofa in Chinese。
I don't really like that.
Leather wallets.
还有这个皮夹。
People believe luxury means animal skin.
那很多人以为这个奢侈品就是意味着皮草。
I mean, how much ignorance is this?
你想，这个是多么的愚昧啊！这种概念是多么的无知。
Anyway, we have to avoid these things.
那不管怎么样，我们得避免。Okay, Panchatattva Prabhu 继续询问，奉献者应该追随 Narada 的步伐给猎人传教吗？ Should devotees follow the footsteps of Narada Muni and preach to hunters?
Panchatattva Prabhu, I can take you around the city of Lanzhou and show you millions of hunters.
Panchatattva Prabhu, 我可以带着你在兰州城走一圈，你会看到千千万万不计其数的猎人。
As a matter of fact, you don't have to go very far in Lanzhou. They are all sitting in your campus at university.
事实上呢，这些猎人也没有在多远的地方，就在你的校园里面，你已经可以看到很多这样的猎人了。
You are surrounded by hunters exactly where you work.
事实上呢，你工作的这个地方 周围就布满了这个猎人。
So anyone who is involved in eating animal flesh,
所以说任何一个人他只要是吃肉，
is a Mugrari the hunter,
就是或参与这个肉加工的这个行业吧，他们都是 Mugrari, 就这个猎人。
So, and we are all, as devotees, we are all Narada Munis.
而作为奉献者呢，我们都应当是 Narada Muni.
So everyone is a candidate for pure bhakti.
所以呢，每一个人呢，他其实都是纯粹的，奉爱的一个候选人。
The more we advance in Krishna consciousness, the more people become attracted to the purity.And the quicker they will give up their sinful habits.
那 Krishna, 我们的 Krishna 知觉越高越纯粹的话，就越有吸引力，人们就会越被我们吸引而得到净化。那最终他们就可以放弃他们的罪恶活动。OK, 好，庞继东，顶拜咕噜翻译，你好，主持人好，我每天有时都能够念到16圈，有时达不到，这样犯贱吗？恳请咕噜明示。Please accept my humble obeisances. Every day, normally I can chant 16 rounds, but sometimes I can't reach that number. Is it against the rules? Please give me some guidance. Thank you very much.
If you are an initiated devotee,You have taken a vow to chant 16 rounds.
就是说，如果说你已经是一个被启迪的、已经启迪过的奉献者了，那就意味着你曾经有过誓言，就是每天至少要念诵16圈。
So when we take a vow, we should stick to the vow.
既然是发了誓的话，那就绝不能食言。
And Prabhupada says 16 rounds is the strict minimum for initiated devotees.
所以Srila Prabhupada他说，对于启迪的奉献者来说呢，严格的念诵16圈，至少16圈，这个是一个最低的限度。
Now, if you are not an initiated devotee but aspires to be initiated, then you have to work towards 16 rounds.
那如果说呢，你还没有这个启迪，但是你渴望启迪，那你就要朝这个启迪的这个方向去努力，那就意味着你要努力的达到16圈。
So one thing is, don't put unnecessary pressure on yourself.
那有一点呢，就是说不要就是给自己有过度的这个压力，就是没有必要的过度的压力。
Don't make the chanting an artificial activity.
不要就是把这个念诵变成了一个刻意而为的一件事情。
Whatever number of rounds you are chanting, enjoy chanting them.
那你现在不管你能念到多少圈的话，你要就是真正的去在这个圈数在念诵的这个过程当中去享受这个过程。
And gradually you will reach 16 rounds. There's no doubt about this.
也就是说，你要对你的现有的这个念诵要有品味，然后慢慢的你就可以逐步的增加，可以达到。She's already chanting 16 quite often, but sometimes maybe occasionally can't reach. Is it against the?
No, my point is, if you are an initiated devotee, you've taken a vow to chant 16 rounds.
所以呢，就是我再一次重申了你说的，就是其实你大多数时候都是念16圈，只是。偶尔达不到，那么Radha Shampabu的意思就是说，那么如果说你已经是启迪了，那16圈就是你的誓言，那是肯定要达到，没有达到肯定是犯戒。那要是
Prabhupada instructed, if some days you can't chant 16, then you should make up for these missing runs the next day.
那Srila爸爸也说了，如果万一有的时候达不到这个16圈，缺了几圈的话，那么你必须在第二天立刻给补上。Yes. 好，下一个是 Sumuki Radha Mataji 的问题。感恩 Prabhu 和 Mataji 的甜美讲课。请问我们过去由于无知做了那么多的错事，伤害了这么多的众生，现在我们通过奉爱服务可以获得赦免吗？还是说今生仍然要承受这些恶报的一些报应呢？ Thank you very much for your sweet class. Yes, sweet means wonderful class. Previously, out of ignorance, we have done a lot of mistakes, harming so many different living entities. Can we be free from the sinful activities we did before through bhakti or devotional service, or we still have to bear all the consequences or karmic reactions from those sinful activities.
Now we shouldn't think that way.
就是我们不要这么去想。
And especially we should be very careful not to take the process of devotional service as a way to catch up with all our sinful activities because it's not possible to count them.
然后呢我们而且我们要避免这样的一种心态哈，以为就是通过奉献服务的休息然后呢我们就可以抵消掉之前的一些罪恶活动实际上是没有办法那个这样去计算的，因为我们之前的罪恶活动实在是太多了，根本就数不过来，不计其数。
If there is one thing that we can keep from our past activities is that somehow or other the spiritual master has pulled me out of this misery, but I have no qualification for mercy.
那如果说我们从过往的罪恶活动来可以能够吸取一个什么教训的话，那就是说我们知道我们是深陷于这个罪恶的活动之中，在这样的一种痛苦的境地，但是我们的灵性导师却给了我们无缘的仁慈，把我们从这种罪恶当中解救出来，但是事实上我们根本就是一无资格，根本就配不上我们的灵性导师所给我们的仁慈。
So, when we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, we don't turn the page, we close the book.
所以呢，当我们去脱离一位真正的灵性导师的时候，我们不是说把这一页翻过去了这么简单，而是我们整个就把这本书给合上了，罪恶之书就合上了。
And we burn that book.
然后我们把这本书扔到火里给烧了。
Finished. We start a new one. Blank page.
就是到此为止哈，就此结束。我们就是重新拿出一部崭新的书开始翻页。
Prabhupada said, when you take initiation, you never look back.
师父他说，当你获得了启迪之后，就不要再看，再回头看了。
That's why it's considered a new birth.
这就是为什么说就是启迪被认为是再生。
First, we have our parents give us birth into this world.
就是首先呢，我们来到这个世界上，是我们的父母给了我们把我们生下来，给了我们这个躯体
And then the spiritual master and the shastra give us birth.
然后呢，灵性导师和 shastra 经典呢，给了我们再生的机会，就是获得新生的机会。
So we move forward. That's the point.
所以说，最关键的是我们要一路向前，不要过多的沉湎于过去。
By seeing other people in this kind of fallen condition, we may remember not long ago.I was one of those.
当你看到别人还在这样的一种堕落的状况中的时候呢，你也要想一想，其实我自己不久之前也是一样堕落的，也是这样的一种境况。
And we're going to see in that story coming forward the transformation of the hunter.
那我们接下来其实这个故事继续的就是讲下去，我们就会看到这个猎人他发生了巨大的转变。
And when we look back at who we were before we met Krishna consciousness, it's actually quite amazing the transformation that took place.
实际上，如果我们每一个人去回顾一下自己的往昔，我们就会发现，这个看一看我们在成为奉献者之前究竟是一个什么样子的，我们会为自己巨大的这种变化而感到惊奇的。
One time a reporter asked Prabhupada.
有一次呢，有一个记者询问师父 Prabhupada.
He says, Swamiji, there are so many gurus in India who perform miracles. What is your miracle?
这个记者就问呢，Swamiji, 在印度呢，有这么多玄秘大师，他们有各种各样的神通，你的神通是什么？
He said, my miracles are sitting in front of you.
师父他说呢，我的奇迹就是我的神通现在就都坐在你的面前。
All these boys and girls are miracles.
这些小伙子，这些姑娘们，他们都是奇迹。
So we don't look back.
所以呢，我们呢，不去看过去。 Kamakeli David Dasi, Hare Krishna.
Kamakeli.
明白大家有时候与某个灵魂纯粹的爱就不是灵性的吗？比如爱一个动物躯体的灵魂。If we have 有时候与某个灵魂纯粹的爱就不是灵性。If we have some love for some other souls,For example, in animal bodies, this kind of love is not spiritual.
Excuse me?
She didn't speak very clearly, but I think what she means is that if we love a soul in an animal body, so this kind of love, is it spiritual or not?
Of course. I mean, the fact that you can see the soul in a living entity, that's a spiritual vision.
就是英英你的前半句还是说的有点不太清楚。那么拉达山帕布就是说如果说你去看到一个灵魂在另外的一个动物的这个躯体里面，你在一个动物躯体中看到灵魂的存在，这本身已经是一种灵性的视觉。So that kind of love, can we say it's spiritual or not? For an animal.
No, we have to understand what love means.
但是它还不能就说这是一种灵性的爱，我们应当要对爱有所理解。
Love is not just a thought, love is action.
爱并不是只是一个念头而已，爱是一种表现在行动上的。
So, for example,You know, you cultivating your own Krishna consciousness.
比如说呢，你去这个去培养自己的 Krishna 知觉
which requires you to always remain clean.
这个可能就是在这个过程中，你需要经常保持这种洁净。
So it's not because you see the spirit soul in other animals that you're going to have 5 pet dogs at home.
并不是说你可以看到这动物的这个身体里面也住着灵魂，然后你觉得自己挺爱他们的，然后你就养 五个宠物，不是这样的。
No. You see love in animals by stopping people from torturing them.
那你怎么去爱动物呢？你应该要阻止人们对动物的这个折磨和伤害，这个是你爱动物的一个表现，而不是说养一些动物宠物。举例来说。Sumuki Radha Mataji 问，我们自己休息，但是家人孩子还在吃肉的，他们的未来会怎么样呢？ We do practice Krishna consciousness, but our family and children are still taking meat. What would be their future?
Their future is your future.
他们的未来就是你的未来。
Your spiritual advancement is...For their benefit.
你的灵性上精进的这个程度呢，其实他们也是可以受益的。
The more you advance, the more you are speeding their recovery into spiritual life.
那你在灵性上面越是精进的话，其实你就缩短了他们灵性生活恢复的这个进程。
The fact that they support and appreciate it's already their service. The meat.It's a question of time.
你家人和孩子他们不反对你，支持你修行，这个本身已经是很好了。至于这个吃肉的这个问题的话，它只是一个时间的问题而已。
Prabhupada's sister Pishima, her husband was a meat eater.
是 Prabhupada 的妹妹，她的妹妹 Pishima 的这个丈夫就是吃肉的。
And she asked Prabhupada what to do.
然后呢，这妹妹就问施拉帕帕说，那我该怎么办呢？
Prabhupada said, continue to chant your rounds, continue to cook prasadam.
Prabhupada 他说呢，你继续念诵，继续烹饪 prasadam.
And never give up.
然后永远不要忘记放弃。
And ultimately, he gave up meat eating.
最后她的丈夫 after many years, 经过了很多年之后，他真的就是放弃了吃肉了。Fairy 问，顶拜咕噜，屠夫们他们来生会成为动物吗？有的他们的现实过得还挺好的，否则就不会继续当屠夫了。他们会在来世也得到报应。What about those butchers? Will they become animals in their next life? Some of them are having a good time, have a good life in this present life. Otherwise, they wouldn't continue being butchers. Will they have to reap their karmic reactions in the coming lives?
First of all, I don't think they have a good life.
首先我可真不觉得他们在这一线是能够过得有多好。
The only thing that can allow these people to keep slaughtering animals is to be completely numb, absolutely zero feelings.
之所以他们能够一直这么在屠宰场里面工作下去，每天屠宰那么多的动物，就是因为他们已经完全的麻木了。完全是无知无觉的这样的一种状态，就是因为他自我麻痹了，所以他才能够继续的这么屠杀下去。
They see absolutely nothing wrong in taking a knife and cutting an animal open and taking all the guts out and chopping the animals in every possible pieces. Yes.
他们觉得每天他们把这个动物肢解了，开肠破肚，把里面的内脏全部都掏出来，把它切成一小块一小块的。他们觉得这个没有什么问题，没有什么错。
Of course, some people fix cars and some people chop animals into pieces. No difference.
他们觉得，有的人就是修车啊，有的人就是说这个把这个动物的身体，尸体切成，这个大卸八块，他觉得一样啊，都是工作。
But there are stories. I mean, even I remember not myself personally, but I know devotees who sold Prabhupada's books inside a butchery shop, and many butchers took the book and gave money.
我们知道有这样的这个故事，就是说有奉献者到屠宰场里面去派发施了 Prabhupada 的书，然后很多的这个屠夫他们真的是请了施了 Prabhupada 的书，而且还给了钱。
Like this Russian devotee is in South India, we're visiting a temple.
就是有一个俄罗斯的奉献者，他在南印度去到一个庙里面。
And then they bump into some other Russian devotees.
然后他们就遇到了其他的俄罗斯的奉献者了。
So they ask him, "Who are you? Where are you from?"
然后呢，那群俄罗斯奉献者就问说，哎，您是谁？您从哪里来？
So these Russian devotees, they say, "Well, I bought Prabhupada's books when I was working in a slaughterhouse."
然后这个俄罗斯奉献者说呢，他说我以前是在屠宰场里工作的。我在屠宰场工作的时候买了一本施乐帕帕的书。
And when I opened that book, my life completely changed.
当我打开这本书的时候，我的生命就完全的改变了。
So he gave up his job at the slaughterhouse. His wife became a devotee, and other people in the village became devotees.
然后呢，他就这个辞职不干了。然后他的妻子后来成了奉献者，他所在的那个村庄里面有很多村民也成为了这个奉献者。
So these things happen.
所以这些事情的确是发生的。
When you place yourself out into the open, then you create favorable situations. If you sit at home, it's not going to happen.
你如果是坐在家里的什么事情都不干的话，那什么都不会发生。但是你只要一踏出这个家门，走到这个外面的广大的这个空间里面，那就有各种各样的事情，各种奇迹都会发生。 OK， 陈娟 Mataji 问顶拜 Gurudev， 顶感谢翻译和主播，可以边荣耀边听早课吗？早上又想听早课又想做菩萨的，请问 Gurudev 对于我这样的出席者哪个更合适呢？ Thank you very much for your class. Can we honoring Prasadam while listening to a class in the morning? On one hand, I want to listen to the class. On the other hand, I want to make Prasadam. So for a neophyte like me, which is more proper?
First of all, you are not a neophyte.
首先你不是一个出席者。
Anyone who practices devotional service is glorious.
所有的这个修习 Krishna 知觉的人都是非常的光荣的。
And you can listen to a class while you're cooking. I also listen to classes when I cook.
你可以一边做饭做 prasadam 一边听课，这个是没有问题的。我也总是这样的，我也是经常这样的。
the thing that we should avoid is to be distracted by our phone while we cook or while we eat.
就是我们最应该避免的，就是在我们做饭的时候或者在吃饭，就是荣耀不下降的时候，还分心去看那个手机。
So we should avoid distraction.
这样子的一种心不在焉，我们是要避免的。
So while cooking, we should either chant Hare Krishna or we can listen to a lecture.
所以我们在做饭的时候，我们要不就可以唱诵 Hare Krishna， 或者听这个唱诵，或者是听课，这个都是可以的。
And while taking prasadam, if we're on our own, we can also listen to the kirtan or we can listen to a lecture.
所以如果我们是自己一个人在荣耀普沙丹的话，我们也可以去听 Kirtan 或者是听一个课。 OK， 下一个问题来自于 Jain Patma David Asi。 Hare Krishna， 感恩 Papu 的仁慈，感恩 Mataji 的甜美的翻译。如果以前买的羽绒服我们该怎么处理，该丢弃吗？感恩您。 So the question is about the don'tjackets we bought from before. What can we do? Should we just get rid of it or throw it away? Or what can we do?
Just be practical.
Okay. 在这个事情上咱们还得讲究这个实际了，就是得务实了。
I remember in 1994,
就是在这个1994年的时候，
I was traveling around the world with Tamal Krishna Goswami.
我跟这个 Tamal Krishna Goswami 呢，在这个全世界环球旅行。
And I didn't really have much with me. I just had a suitcase with a few things, couple of dhotis.
我当时身上带的东西也不多，就是一个简单的行李箱，里面有这么几件 dhoti 啊，少数的几件衣服而已。
So we arrived in December at the Amsterdam airport.
然后我们是在十二月隆冬的时候。到达了这个
Amsterdam, not London.
No, no, I use the Chinese.
Oh, okay.
In the core of winter. 就是说在这个12月最冷的时候，我们到达了荷兰阿姆斯特丹的机场。
So when we got out of the airport, it was so cold.
哎呀，我们就是出了这机场的时候，真是天寒地冻。
So one devotee, he had a jacket, and he says, wear that jacket.
然后一个奉献者呢，他就拿了一件这个大衣，他说你穿上吧。
And it was very warm.
穿上了以后特别的暖和。
And then he said, you can keep it.
然后他就跟我说呢，这件衣服你可以留着。
That's what happened when you're a guru's secretary. You get gifts all the time.
这个就是跟着一个 guru 做他贴身秘书的好处，你时不时总能得到一些礼物。
So, you'd be surprised. I still have that jacket.
你可能会觉得很惊奇的，直到今天我还保留着这件大衣 ，the gray one.
No, the red sleeveless. The red sleeveless.
Okay. 就是 Radha Chandra Prabhu 有一件就这样的一个夹克，红颜色的，也不是夹克，就是那种背心马甲的那样的一个。
And one day I looked, there was a little white thing sticking out of the fabric.
然后有一天呢，我看到这个布的这个夹缝里面冒出一个白白的小东西。
So I pulled it, and it was a feather.
然后我把它抽出来，一看是一根小的羽毛，就是那羽绒呗。
So all these years, I did not even know I was keeping warm with animal feathers.
然后这么多年了，我就穿着这件暖和的这个马甲，一直穿。一个冬天一个冬天，我从来都不知道原来我一直在穿的是一件羽绒服，但是非常的暖和。
What to do?
那怎么办呢？这奉献者的礼物也不能丢掉。Okay, so we just have, 所以我们这就讲究实际。Okay, 下一个问题就是淡然一笑，泡泡的说，懒惰的智者是最好的，勤快的愚者是最差的，不懂请开始。He said he read in the book, Shri Prabhupada said the lazy but wise person is the best. The active, hard working, ignorant is the worst. I don't understand about it. Please.
Lazy intelligent.
Yeah. Lazy intelligent is the best. But the hard working, ignorant is the worst.
Yes.
Yeah, 的确是这么回事。
I listened to Prabhupada's lecture Yesterday he was talking about this.
对，昨天是来帕布法讲课的时候，我听着，就正好是说到这个。
Sometimes it, you know, when you actually don't understand the philosophy, it makes no sense. But when you do understand, it makes every sense.
就是有的时候，当你不太理解哲学的时候，这样的话你可能是听不懂的，理解不了的。但是你要是真的非常透彻的这个了解了哲学之后呢，这些话是非常的有道理的。
Because if you actually understand what is the meaning of the goal of life.
因为如果你真的明白人生的终极目标是什么的时候，
is to become self-realized.
那你要知道人生的目标就是说要得到自我觉悟。
So you don't become self-realized by working in ignorance.
那一个人他不能是总是处在这个无知、愚昧、黑暗当中去活动，而自动的就达到自我觉悟了，这是不可能的。
You become self-realized by the practice of devotional service.
你是通过去实践修习这个奉爱服务而达到自我觉悟的。
Therefore, Prabhupada says.Why do people have to work so hard?
所以呢，释迦牟尼的意思就是说，人们为什么要这么千辛万苦的去工作呢？
If you serve Krishna, everything is provided.
只要你去服务 Krishna, 所有的一切都会自动提供给你的。
But if you don't serve Krishna, you're gonna have to work very hard for very little results.
就是如果你不愿意去服务 Krishna 的话，你可能会非常辛苦的在这个世界上工作劳动，但是你所得到的这个回报可能是微乎其微。
And Prabhupada, when he came to the Western world, he was actually shocked to see how people had the energy to work so hard.
其实当时爸爸当时他到了西方国家的时候，他看到这个西方人就是工作那么的卖力，几乎是。他都很感到很吃惊，他们怎么会有这种能量干这么多的活儿，这么重的活儿，他都感到非常的吃惊。
And there is one video where you see Prabhupada walking in a beautiful park with devotees.
然后还有一个视频，一个片子里你会看到，就是释迦牟尼带着这个奉献者们在一个公园里散步。
And Prabhupada says, "Look at this place."
那释迦牟尼才说。看一下这个地方
，It's so beautiful.
你看这个地方是多美啊
！But there's nobody here.
但是这里一个人都没有。
He said everybody is working hard.
他说每个人呢都在非常勤奋的工作。
And they have this beautiful park, and we come and we enjoy it.
他们非常辛苦的在那儿劳动工作，然后这么漂亮的公园居然一个人都没有，所以呢我们就来到这里来享受啊。
So Baba said.Human beings are not meant to work hard.
Like a donkey. 那就是说，其实人是不应该原本作为人的话，他的那个工作不应该劳动不应该那么辛苦的。
Because nature will very gladly supply everything that you require.
因为你所需要的一切，大自然都会。非常喜悦的提供给你的，心甘情愿的提供给你的。
So someone who doesn't have knowledge, spiritual knowledge, but work too hard, that's like a ass.
It's just ignorance.
就是说那些没有真正的灵性的知识的就是智慧还没有开启的人，他们只知道拼命的工作，这种人就是处于一种无知的状态，这是这句话的意思。OK.顶白翻译，我还没有起底。那 the devotee who said he couldn't finish 16 rounds, she said she hasn't got initiation yet.
Okay.
一圈是多少遍圣名 ？How many holy names in one round? Thank you very much.
There are 16 names in one mantra.
在一个 mantra 里面，一共有16个圣名吗
？And you multiply these by 108.
然后呢，你再乘以108，就是一圈。
So that's the number of holy names in one round.
这个就是一圈，你念了这个一圈，你就已经你就知道乘一下就知道了啊，16乘以108就是一圈的圣名的变数。王文言 ，Akasha David Carr， 等一会儿跳上去了。
顶拜奉献者、顶拜咕噜和翻译。如果孩子还是想让自己在家里他做鱼吃，我做了很不开心，我该怎么平衡这种心态？My child still wants me to cook fish for him. I'm very upset making fish for my boy. How can I balance my heart? How can I get balance with my heart?
I'm upset.Yeah, well, your situation is the same situation with many, many devotees.
其实你的这个情况跟很多很多的奉献者的情况是一样的。
So, this is something that you have to accept as part of the decision that you made in the past.
这个呢，就现在你这种情况呢，你就要去接受，因为这个是你。之前个人所做出的一个结果的决定所带来的结果
，which was to get married and have a child.
你结婚了，有孩子，那这个现在就是一个这个家庭，就是这个你的当初的选择的这个结果，所以你要去面对它。
That's before you became a devotee.
这个是你在成为奉献者之前的事。
So now you have to live with the reality.
那现在呢，你就是说要去直面这个现实生活。
Like Sumukhi Radha Mataji mentioned, you have to always remain a good example and just carry on with your responsibilities until one day the situation will change.
那是就像 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 之前说的一样，那在这种情况下，一个人他就要去平和的接受，然后尽他的这个责任很好的去履行责任，然后有一天呢，这个情况是会发生转机的。
So you have to pray to Krishna to purify their hearts and purify your own heart.
你要向 Krishna 祈祷，祈祷 Krishna 能够帮助他们去净化自己的内心，同样也净化你的心。
And if your child is keen on eating fish at home,You have no idea what he's going to eat when he starts going to school and university.
所以呢，如果这个孩子在家里吃鱼吃的这么欢，你就可以想见他出了这个家门，在学校里或者以后上大学，到了这个上大学之后，他会喜欢吃什么了。
So you have.
So you just try your best.、Right?
You have to try your best.
所以你就是尽你的力量就好了。Just to make a better prasada to attract him back. 你尽量的做美味的 prasada， 一定要把他的这个口味慢慢的转变过来。当他喜欢你做的 prasada 的时候，他自然也就会减少了。
We have to create a whole new generation of devotees who only marry devotees.
就是说，我们要慢慢的创造一种让奉献者。和奉献者之间组成家庭的这种文化 ，yes， 慢慢的让奉献者跟奉献者结婚 ，that means more prabhus，
more prabhus，
要更多的 prabhu， 更多的男奉献者才行。Fairy， 领拜咕噜对奉献者来说，从事生意能挣很多钱，但他们销售的产品中不可避免的会有肉类、皮质用品，这会取悦 Krishna， 这会使。给自己和 Guru 带来什么样的不好后果？如果已经从事这些生意的奉献者应该怎么办 ？For devotees, one can make a lot of money from business, but the products they sell sometimes inevitably will include some meat products or some leather products.
Yes.
Will that please Krishna? What kind of negative consequences will be brought to them?And also their guru. If someone is already doing this kind of business for this kind of devotees, what should they do?
It's not an easy situation.
这个情况也是不好办。
There was the situation of. There are many situations, many examples.
有很多的各种各样的情况，各种各样的例子，我可以举给你。
But we have to understand that material nature is very complex.
那我们知道这个物质自然。是一个非常错综复杂的这么一个状况。
For example, we make money.
比如说，我们挣了钱。
The money that's coming into our hands, it's not clean money.
就是我们其实挣到的这个钱，这本身也不是干净的钱。
The money that we get from people is money that they earn by sinful activities.
我们挣来的这个钱原本是从那些。从事罪恶活动的人的那里去挣来的。
Therefore, the only remedy is to use the money that we earn completely in Krishna's service.
所以说呢，我们唯一的弥补的方法就是说，我们要把挣来的这个钱完全为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
That's why money in the hands of a devotee becomes Lakshmi.
这就是为什么奉献者手中的这个钱就变成了 Lakshmi, 幸运女神了。
And with all the money that we've made over the years, we're building the TOVP, we build the Bombay Temple, we build Mayapur, we build the Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, we buy properties all over the world, we print books, all this with sinful money.
You mean from sinful people?
Yeah.
就是这么多年来，我们奉献者募集到了这么多资金，挣来的那么多的钱，用来建造这个 Mayapur 的大庙 TOVP 理解大庙，然后包括文达文的 Krishna Balaram 的这个庙宇，孟买的这个庙宇，还在世界各地买了这么多地这个这么多的这个地产，那么多的庙宇其实还有印了这么多的书。这些钱呢，你要是追那个根的话，就是从罪恶的人那个手里过来的。
There was a devotee who was an accountant for a insurance company.
有一个奉献者呢，他是一个，就是那个保险公司的那个出纳。
And then one day he discovered、
这个财务
that this insurance company was actually insuring many companies that were dealing with fish and animal products.
然后后来有一天他就发现，原来他这个保险公司它是跟很多的这种渔业和动物屠宰加工的这种企业有关联的。
So he said, I'm doing their accounts.
然后呢他就说，那我是一个财务，等于我成天在给这样的公司做账。
And I'm getting good money for it.
然后我还挣了不少钱。
And he asked me, he said, what should I do?
然后他就问我说，那我该怎么办呢？
I said, you have to quit.
我就跟他说，那你得辞职。
I said, don't quit now, but you have to make plans to gradually remove yourself.
那我说的就是，不过你现在不用马上的辞职，你可以好好的就是定一个，做一个计划，有所准备，然后慢慢的从这份工作当中脱身。
And I remember maybe two or three years later, he sent me an email, he said, I quit.
然后我记得过了两三年之后，他给我写了一个 email, 他说，那个我辞职了。
He said, I've made enough money, I don't need to do this anymore.
他说呢，我已经挣够了钱了，所以这样的工作我就不用再做了。
So the real question here is, how much money do you need?
所以真正的问题就是说，你到底要挣多少钱，你需要多少钱。
We don't want to go overboard.
就是说我们不要过度。Okay. So, but it will not please Krishna.
It's not a question of pleasing Krishna. It's about your consciousness.
这个其实
Krishna's got nothing to do with it.
这个也不是说你挣了你工作是不是能取悦 Krishna. 其实 Krishna 跟你的工作没有什么关系。最关键是你在挣钱的时候，工作的时候，你是一种什么样的心态，什么样的意识。其中说顶拜 Guru, 顶拜家人，大家有些人很少吃到蔬菜，就像是藏族人，在一个藏族人以打猎为生，就像他们怎么奢侈 Krishna。For example, the Tibetans, they seldom eat any vegetables and they live on hunting. How can they practice Krishna consciousness? A lot of Tibetans are vegetarian, actually, but it's difficult.
Like I said, not everyone, I'm not going to take this.
Okay.
Not everyone will be vegetarian.
就像我说的一样，并不是所有的人都可以成为素食者的。
And Prabhupada mentions people who live in the North Pole, in the South Pole, in the desert.
是啊，爸爸他说过，生活在北极的人、南极的人，还有沙漠里的人。
So they have to live on animals.
他们没有办法，他们只能以吃动物肉为生。
I mean, Lord Chaitanya used to live in Jagannath Puri. There were fishermen right there in front of his eyes. He was caught by a fisherman.
你要知道，齐达涅马哈巴布他在这个 Jagannath Puri 的时候，这个在他的眼前就有很多的渔夫。最后他落入到这个海中的时候，把他救起来的也是一个渔网，是一个渔夫把他给救了。
The point is not that some people eat meat. Prabhupada always made that point. The point is the mass commercial industrial slaughter.
那徐老爸爸他说, 其实吃肉还不是根本的这个问题,而是这种, 大规模的工业化的这种, 屠宰动物,
And the reason for this is in order to supply so much meat to the public, they have to use chemicals. That chemicals create addiction in the system, so much so that you cannot stop eating meat. And you die from it.
为了要去提供那些食肉成瘾的那些人的这种巨大的需求，所以这些屠宰场呢，它就要养很多的动物，在短期之内把它们，这就是抚养大。那它里面呢，它要注入很多的这种化学的制品在它的饲料里面，而这种化学制品实际上是会让人上瘾的。所以呢，吃了这些动物肉的人，慢慢就上瘾了，也摄入了大量的。 化学的这种制品在自己的体内，最后他们也会为此付出代价，他们也会死于这些化学的制品，化学的那个添加剂。OK，下一个问题， Madhusudan Prabhu， 冬天到了，每天供奉的普沙丹供完后就冷了，可不可以再加热一下？按规定是不可以的，请Guru指点。 Hare Krishna。 明白您的莲花组。 And the winter every day we offer Prasadam and after the offering, it all turn become cold. Can we heat it up again? According to the rules and regulations, it's not allowed to heat up the Maha Prasada. So please give us some guidance. Thank you very much.
I allow you to reheat the Prasada.
现在呢，我正式的这个允许你去给 Prasada 加热。
Break the rule.
就打破这个规矩.
Prasadam is Prasadam.
Prasadam 就是 Prasadam. Okay, 这个问题很简单了. In India, it's not that cold, so there's not much.
In India, it's not. I know if Prasadam is cold, you're supposed to eat hot. So you reheat the Prasadam. The best is to finish what you cook. That's the best.
That's from the Maha plate. Well, that's what
is this coming from here? This is a question from
No, Madhusudan Prabhu.
Madhusudan is in China.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess this rule, you know, in India it's not a problem, but in China it's so cold.
No. You confuse everything. In India, when you get maha, you finish the maha.
Okay. 是不是在印度的话，你这个 Mahaprasadam 不加热是没有问题的？印度也没有那么的寒冷，然后那个是在印度的庙里面的 Maha， 是你拿到了 Maha， 就是马上就吃了，很快就融药了。
Prabhupada did not like when you save the Maha. You have to finish the Maha. You accept enough Maha that you can eat.
然后师父爸爸他是不喜欢我们把这个 Maha 给存放起来很久才去吃它，就是希望他马上就给它吃完，就是不管有多少 Maha， 很快的派发下来就把它融药完，不剩。所以关于你的这个 Prasadam 这个加热的问题是可以加热的。Sujata Sangha， Dasi 饼干 Guru 和翻译，羽绒和羊毛制品不是直接杀死动物所取，跟山皮草不一样。 To have the dough like jacket, and also to have a cashmere product, it's not like killing the animal directly. It's just some byproducts from the animals. It's different from leathers or the furs, right?
When you get cashmere, you don't kill the animal.
对你，当你要用这个。 羊毛制品、羊绒制品的时候是不杀动物的。
Wool, you don't kill the animals. You actually want to keep the animal alive because the animal keeps giving wool.
因为这个羊毛这种东西，实际上那个动物你得要让它活着，它才能不断的产羊毛，就把那个羊毛给剪下来再去纺织。所以是不杀动物的。When
you pluck the feathers of a duck or a chicken, they're not going to grow feathers again.
但是呢，你要把那个鸭子和鸡身上的这个绒不是鸡了，就其实是鸭子的这个鹅什么的 把它的毛给拔下来的话，这个毛是再也长不出来了。
So you have to kill them first.
所以呢，他们都是先是杀死了，然后。
So there's a difference between down feather and wool.
所以这个羽绒和羊毛就是两回事。The last question is a very quick question. If I don't have the cushion, when I obey obeisances to the deities, so I used 带毛的皮垫子 a leather cushion with some fur. Is it okay or not?
No, it's not.
那你不行，你不能用这个皮垫子，说的是真皮垫子啊，或者说是带有动物毛的这个垫子是不能用的。Okay.
Okay, Sumukhi Radha Mataji, thank you very much.
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 非常的感谢你。
All the devotees, thank you for your wonderful questions.
感谢所有的奉献者，感谢你们提出的好问题。
Krishna Premi Mataji, thank you for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Narada Muni ki jai. Mugrari the Hunter ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kashadesh Yatra ki jai.
来昆台之音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，我们今天的永恒的齐天良心师齐天良齐天良的讲课就到这里结束了。我们现在讲到的是玛加丽拉的第24章，有关于阿斯玛拉姆师节的61项解释。 Hare Krishna， 下周同一时间再见。